Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. According to the Apple Podcast Charts, the number one stand-up comedy podcast in Zimbabwe. Hello, Zimbabwe. Stephen Colbert said Coke is suspending all their operations in Russia, but Pepsi announced they'd continue to sell potato chips and daily essentials such as milk, cheese, and baby formula, to which Russian babies said, "Are you sure you don't have Coke?" Jimmy Fallon. One of the major companies boycotting Russia is Starbucks. They just closed all 130 of their stores over there, and that was on just one street. Fallon said there's Dunkin' Donuts, but Putin was like, "Yet that's what America runs on." And in a variation of the same joke over and over, but it never gets tired, Fallon, facing public pressure, Papa John's announced that it's halting all Russian business operations. Russians were like, "Finally, some good news." I know some of you are tired of me talking about Pete Davidson, but my man is in the news every day. He's getting a sitcom. He will play Pete Davidson in a sitcom about Pete Davidson. He's teaming up with Lorne Michaels for a comedy series called Bupkiss. In Bupkiss, Pete Davidson plays a fictionalized version of Pete Davidson. The show is described as a raw, unflinching, fictionalized version of Pete Davidson's real life. It will include a mixture of grounded storytelling with absurd elements depicting an unfiltered view through Pete's eyes. Some people comparing it to Curb Your Enthusiasm. Is this going on NBC or Peacock? Because I saw one version of it said it would be R-rated, which would make me think it would go to Peacock. And while we're talking about Pete, Kanye West will not leave the guy alone. Kanye has put out a second music video for the song Easy. This time, as Kanye raps the line, "God save me from that crash, just so I can beat Pete Davidson's ass." Not even a good rhyme. A bloodied monkey beats a blurred out Pete Davidson. Blurred out Pete Davidson is wearing a hoodie that says Skeet, which is Kanye's nickname for the comic. All right, fasten your seatbelts. I'm about to take you on quite the ride. The overarching topic here is the current PR campaign going on about Amy Schumer. A lot of this stems from the Hollywood Reporter article that I quoted from on yesterday's podcast. Go back and listen to that if you missed it. Again, we're going to go on a ride here. Stay with me. First up, as I said yesterday, major kudos to Amy Schumer's PR people, her new Hollywood agency. We are clearly getting the message out there about how awesome Amy Schumer is as we get ready to have her host the Oscars for some reason. The publicists got people like Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld to talk about her. Let's start with Chris Rock. Chris Rock discussed the Oscars and said, as he sees it, the Oscars had two options in selecting an MC. They could hire a tram or a roller coaster. And by picking Schumer and the rest, they picked a roller coaster. What you talking about, Johnny Mac? Exactly. Chris Rock clarified, "You get a little scared on roller coasters. They make you throw up sometimes, but when it's all over, you're like, man, I can't wait to do that again. It's the ride on which we advertise the whole amusement park. They don't say, 'Come to Six Flags, we got bumper cars.' They say, 'Get on effing Rolling Thunder.' So yeah, there are lovely trams out there that can host the show. Really lovely trams. But Amy Schumer is an effing roller coaster." Okay, Chris Rock. Way back when, Rock hit the Comedy Cellar to check out Amy's set, then went home and watched everything else she had done up until that point. Chris said, "I kept being like, 'S-word, she's really good. She hits hard.'" So he agreed to direct her special. He spent several months on the road with Amy in 2015 for that special. And he says the two talk all this time. Chris Rock said, "In this new landscape, I'll call Amy just to walk me through stuff like, all right, what the F should I be doing right now? What the F can't I say?" Amy's publicist also got Jerry Seinfeld from The Hollywood Reporter. Jerry Seinfeld has become a close friend, too. Though he credits his wife, Jessica, whom he calls the socially functioning member of the Seinfeld team, for initiating the relationship with Schumer, the two comics regularly workshop material and vacation together with their spouses. Before Jerry Seinfeld met Amy Schumer, he'd already heard the hype. Jerry said, "Other comedians just kept telling me about this woman who really seemed to have figured herself out, and that's what comedians have to do. We have to figure ourselves out. It's, okay, who am I? What do I talk about? What do I talk about?" And when someone succeeds at that, where it's rare, people talk about it because it's exciting. Now, I remember when the buzz was on Amy Schumer, I was working at a place and my number two at the place said we should get on Amy Schumer. And we had talked to Amy about hosting a radio show at the place. And I ran it up the flagpole, but certain people didn't know who Amy Schumer was and they passed on it. Missed opportunity there, certain people. So I'm not trying to give the impression here that I'm anti-Amy Schumer, who is hosting the Oscars for some reason, but I'm fascinated by this PR campaign. Yahoo picked up on the Hollywood Reporter article. The part they picked up on, they wrote, "In fact, Amy now admits to being disgusted by some of her early jokes, including one that ridiculed black people who weren't able to swim. The quote, I have so much undoing to do. Amy remarks, adding that she made a point of participating in daily Black Lives Matter vigils and workshops for a six-month period following the murder of George Floyd in 2020. That caught my eye. Amy Schumer participated in daily Black Lives Matter vigils for 6 months? Yeah? So I went to the Google machine. I Googled the phrase, Amy Schumer Black Lives Matter. And I looked at the results on the main all tab. You know, on Google, you can go like regular, news, images, etc. This was on the main Google. The search term, Amy Schumer Black Lives Matter. The first article that came up, maybe they just have good SEO. The article's titled, Yes, Amy Schumer is racist and so is her executive producer. Oh no, this won't end well. Nikki Glaudman wrote this on Medium. As I understand it, there was some sort of panel, and after the panel, the audience asked some questions of the panel members. One of the panel members was Jesse Klein, executive producer and head writer of The Amy Schumer Show. Nikki Glaudman writes, After the show wrapped and the on-air button shut off, the show then transitioned to a looser after-party chat, and at this point, the show's social media liaison, on behalf of several in the Twitter sphere, asked the question that anyone following the news that week knew was going to be asked. It was directed towards Jesse, who again was the showrunner on The Amy Schumer Show. What's your take on Amy Schumer's latest racist nonsense? Behind the panelists, a screen filled up with an image from Schumer's then-new controversial Formation video, as well as several of her offensive tweets. I don't know what those tweets were. Jesse's response was squirrely and definitive. No, Amy Schumer's not racist. The audience booed. Yells of, that's because you're white, filled the hall. Nikki Glaudman writes, Jesse weakly demurred that some of what Amy has said is racially charged and includes some blind spots. She tried to defend her own beliefs by saying she's gotten into arguments with Amy about Black Lives Matter, suggesting Amy Schumer doesn't support Black Lives Matter. In a terribly misguided effort to find solidarity with Alicia, I'm not sure who Alicia is, Jesse claimed she got it because I'm Jewish. And a collective groan rattled the rafters. Nikki Glaudman continued to write, Because here's the thing. Yes, Amy Schumer is racist. Amy, period, Schumer, period, is, period, racist, period. She's racist because we live in a society founded on racism that has afforded her racial privilege, and she's racist because she said some racial stuff. Last night, Jesse made it clear that she's racist too. Nikki added, And yes, I am white, and yes, I am racist too because we live in a society founded on racism that affords me racial privilege, and because I haven't always fully acknowledged how I moved through this world differently because of the color of my skin, and I've done some racist stuff. Now, I remind you, I told you to fasten your seatbelts. The second result on my Google search for Amy Schumer Black Lives Matter. Second result from Scary Mommy. Here's how Amy Schumer will tell her son about 2020. Scary Mommy writes, In a recent interview with E! News, Amy Schumer explained how she and her husband Chris Fisher plan to teach the baby about all the injustices and pain that have been uncovered this year. Amy said, I think we're probably going to keep it pretty real with Gene when he's old enough. I did get arrested while I was pregnant with him, so he's already been arrested. That arrest happened October 2018, when Schumer was one of a group of protesters arrested while speaking out against the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Schumer revealed that Gene's going to grow up in a home that's active in speaking out. Amy said, I go to a protest every morning at 10:30, and he comes with me a lot, so he'll know all about Black Lives Matter. I hope he doesn't believe me when I tell him how awful things were. Scary Mommy added, in recent weeks, she's used her massive platform on social media to promote a number of Black Lives Matter-related causes, including Colin Kaepernick's Legal Defense Initiative, which she said she made a $100,000 donation to. I continue to be curious. Further Googling. The fourth story down from the Daily Mail, Amy Schumer talks protesting for Black Lives Matter every day. That took me to a video. I didn't feel like watching the whole video, but it showed me that Amy Schumer had been on Ellen DeGeneres. So I Googled some more, found an article on ET Canada. All I got from that was, finally, Schumer talks about supporting Black Lives Matter every day by honoring those lost to police violence on social media. I then clicked on the news tab, doing the same search. The news tab is how I do a lot of the prep for this show. and I didn't immediately see anything under the search term Amy Schumer Black Lives Matter. And now I started to wonder, is this a real thing? Is this a PR thing? I told you to buckle your seatbelt, right? Because then I found it. From the MV Times, June 15th, 2020. For 10 consecutive mornings, Chilmark residents have gathered at Beetlebung Corner to kneel in solidarity with people across the country who are protesting police brutality and systemic racism. The demonstration, which begins daily at 10:30, was started by Dana Nunes and has since been organized and led by comedian Amy Schumer. Beginning Friday, June 5th, Nunes stood alone at Beetlebung Corner. She was determined to stand unmoved in the same spot for 3 hours every day that week. She said, "I'm the mother of black men. I fear what's out there for my sons." Amy Schumer was driving through the intersection when she saw Nunes and decided to join her. After an hour of standing in solidarity, the two decided to reconvene the following day, bringing a towel so they could kneel in honor of George Floyd without fear of tick bites. Amy Schumer told her friends about the demonstration. Word spread quickly. That Saturday, 77 people arrived for the demonstration. Nunes said at 10:30, it was like a flash mob showed up. People came from all directions, showing up in droves. For the remainder of the week, Nunes continued to stand at Beetlebung Corner from 9 until noon each day. A crowd, sometimes as many as 100 people, would join her at 10:30. As Nunes' initial plan was to demonstrate daily for 1 week, she no longer joins the crowd. Again, this article from June 15th, 2020. She's happy, though, to see Amy Schumer continue the demonstration. Amy saw the need for some sort of ritual that people could become involved in. She can organize. She can get people to show up. Schumer and a sizable crowd of Chilmark residents have continued to congregate at Beetlebung Corner and bring attention to the many lives lost at the hands of police officers. The group has also started a mailing list. That mailing list is available at mvblm2020@gmail.com. I have not checked to see if it's still active. Those on the mailing list are informed of action items they can take to support the Black Lives Matter movement, including supporting black businesses, filling out census data reports, and voting. Amy Schumer said, "There's a lot of energy and a lot of great people on this island who want to be part of making change. To you, Amy Schumer, I say, good job." I tell you, I was recording this yesterday. The download numbers for this podcast were off to the races. I'm like, is it Kevin Hart fans mad at me because I said he shouldn't follow Chris Rock? Are the Amy Schumer people mad at me? Is it that ageism guy from last weekend? Are the Roganistas mad? Or maybe it's just Pete Davidson fans? Regardless, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for listening. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by the podcast The Best Song Ever. Each week, music journalist Scott Frampton takes a short deep dive into a song and what makes it special. This week's song, David Bowie's Heroes. Great song. So check out what Scott Frampton has to say about David Bowie's Heroes. The podcast is called The Best Song Ever This Week. Available wherever you get your shows. If you enjoy what I do here, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Kenny, I didn't forget you, but I started working on our plan. So today, as usual, I went to the National Donut Chain, got my usual caramel, you guys know what that is, and I was thirsty when I was out running errands kind of midday, so I went back to the National Donut Chain, and this is it here. I got their version of a salted caramel cold brew. I prefer my traditional order to these cold brews, plus these cold brews are like $4.60, but I hit the National Donut Chain so often. I have so many rewards and these free beverages, and I got to use them, so I got this salted caramel so I could compare it to the salted caramel at the Green Base National Coffee Chains. Kenny, I'm going to follow up on that. I didn't forget. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. In case you're curious, trivia night, how did it go? Whew. We got our hat handed to us. Small crowd, 12 teams. We finished ninth. And a part of that is we were down like 10 points. We really had a gamble in the last round where the points are worth triple, but negative answers take off points. Don't worry, it makes sense to me. But here's what I noticed. There were a lot of people with gray hair there. Usually on trivia night, it's all like Gen Zs and the younger millennials, and I shark points. But this week's trivia, there are questions about Warren Zevon and Bluto Blitarski, and normally I'd be like, these millennials don't know who Warren Zevon is, mwahaha, and I get quote-unquote easy points. But there were other gray hairs there, so we got our hat handed to us. Whew. South by Southwest is underway tonight, 7 o'clock at the Creek in the Cave. The comedy kickoff event opens the official festival. Matthew Broussard, Vanessa Gonzalez, Eddie Pepitone, Kirby Shabazz, and Blair Sochi. 7:30, John Cleese in conversation. At 9 o'clock at the Creek, The Late Show. 9 o'clock's not a late show. Come on, Austin, even I'm still awake at 9 o'clock. Logan Gunselman, Willie Hunter, Yamanika Saunders, Liza Traeger, Ricky Velez. That's not a bad show. And then at 10 o'clock, Riffs and Riffraff with Nick Thune and Friends. Nick Thune and his friends, Mary Lynn Ricecup, nice, Andre Highland, John Gimberling, and Dulce Sloan, not bad. The Austin Chronicle recommended their top five South by Southwest comedy shows. On their list, Comedy with the Cleases, we have talked about that. Doug Loves Movies, that's tomorrow at 4 o'clock. ASCAT, tomorrow at 6 o'clock. You're like, what's ASCAT? That's a UCB thing. ASCAT combines improv, comedy, and monologues to enact tales from guest celebrities you won't believe are true. They also recommend Would You Bang Him?, a recording of a comedy podcast that'll happen on Sunday. Sit back, relax, and listen to this wonderfully amusing mock game show in which male comedians vie to impress a panel of female judges by performing brief sets. At the end of the show, the judges deliberate their answers to Would You Bang Him?. That's a good time with Bonnie McFarlane and Rich Voss. Monday at 8 o'clock, Neil Young's COVID Hootenanny Sing-Along, another Matt Besser project. Join celebrity guests in this concert to bring a little levity to our corona-conquered worlds. Oh yeah, remember coronavirus? I got distracted by World War III. I forgot that was a thing. Speaking of World War III, listen to this headline from Broadway World. New York City comedy legends to come together for the Crane for Ukraine variety comedy benefits. Again, let me read that headline. New York City comedy legends to come together. Okay. Pretty cool. New York City comedy legends doing a benefit for Ukraine. Let's see, who would be some New York City comedy legends that come to mind? Jerry Seinfeld, maybe Colin Quinn, Dave Attell, guys like that. Well, the Crane for Ukraine variety comedy benefit is hosted by New York City legend Carol Montgomery. The rest of the panel, New York City legend Paul Valenti, you know, from NBC's Bring the Funny. He was a finalist. Other comedy legends include Lynette Palladino, whose credits include HBO. Other New York City legends include Mariko Iwasa from the Ringling Brothers Circus, which I think closed in like 2018. Calvin Cato, you know, from Vice Media and Netflix. AJ Silver, you know, New York City legend from A Cowboy from the Bronx. Jim Mendrinos from Amazon Prime and Tyler West from Bindlestuff Family Circus and The Slipper Room. New York City comedy legends to come together for the Crane for Ukraine variety comedy benefit. This is on Tuesday at 7:30 at the Crane with a K, 85 East 4th Street. Long one today, but let's squeeze in this review of Hannah Gadsby's new show. It's called Body of Work. The folks at The Guardian saw it. Body of Work is a feel-good show. Hannah Gadsby tells us its predecessors, the smash hits Nanette and Douglas. I'm one of the rare people that like Douglas better than Nanette. Shot the Tasmanian to stardom. But weren't all smiles. Her latest, recounting romance and recent marriage to her producer, Jenny Shamish, arrives with a lighter, looser vibe, even looser than intended, perhaps. Gadsby enters in a wheelchair, having broken her leg on a trip to Iceland. She says the show might be a little rough and unready since she hadn't done this very much, given the leg breaking and whatnot. The Guardian writes, by the end, as Body of Work ambled toward the two-hour mark. Boy, that's long. I could see Gadsby's point. In a show that makes much of the distinction between storytelling and merely listing things that happened, I miss the structural rigor of her earlier offerings, and yet, this is still a delightful set. One section reflects on how poorly prepared Gadsby was when Celebrity came calling and how she effed it up via socially maladroit encounters with Jodie Foster and Richard Curtis. After criticizing him for broadcasting Dave Chappelle's transphobic special, there's a tirade too against Netflix's Ted Sarandos, which Hannah suspects might burn any remaining bridges to global stardom. We'll talk more about that on Sunday. So it sounds like it's okay. 2 hours, though. Whew. All right, that's enough. That's your comedy news for today. This weekend, normal episodes, like very robust, normal episodes. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. Meet you back here tomorrow.